Hi, this is Pete Lincoln. We're here at the Thursday ChurchandGospel.com podcast here to help Bible study teachers of the Explore the Bible series. We're excited because now we're getting ready to do a whole new quarter. We're going to focus on the Old Testament, a part of the Old Testament that many people have read, but we want to help and make sure that the teachers who will be teaching Joshua, Judges, and Ruth will have a chance to grab the big picture of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, fit it into the scriptures rightly so that the gospel message that is in this text emerges. Now, one of the things I want you to think about is in teaching the Old Testament, I always have two principles that I lay out. Number one, I want people to know that when I teach the Bible, when I teach the Old Testament, the number one thing I want you to know is that Moses and the prophets wrote to you. Number two, I want you to know that they have written to you and to me, to all of us, about Jesus. That is, if you look at the level of an entire whole book, and we can debate what a book is at another time, if you look at the level of the whole book, every Old Testament book on the level of a whole book is a gospel book. Now, it's not like a gospel like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's certainly not like the letters in the New Testament, but always the hope of these Old Testament books is centered upon the Messiah, the one that Moses promised. And where did we first learn about him? Well, of course, we learned he would be the seed of Eve. He would return man to the presence of God, to the garden. We learned that he would be the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would come from the tribe of Judah, that he would be a prophet like Moses. So the Torah is an amazing book. What's the Torah? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And it's one book. And what it does is it compares Adam's story to Israel's story, and it isolates a problem that is not only true for Adam and Israel, it's also true for the reader. And what is the problem? That our sinful hearts have exiled us from God, both physically and spiritually. When you're born into this world, you're born into a fallen world, and that is a problem in and of itself. Now, what is the hope he offers? Every biblical book offers a hope, and in the big scheme of the whole book, I think the hope is always gospel. But what was the hope of the Torah? Very simply, it is this: that in the end of the days, which of course is going to start when Jesus comes, in the first coming, the end of the days, there is the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who's coming, and he will do something in Deuteronomy 30. He will change the hearts. The metaphor he uses is circumcise the hearts of man to love God completely, that is, to keep the Shema. So God's work in keeping is going to be completed in returning man to him through this guy, that's the Messiah, ultimately that's Jesus, who will return in the end of the days. But what's interesting is Moses has been this primary character. I mean, two prophets stand out in the Torah, Abraham and Moses. Abraham, who believed Genesis 15:6, believed in the seed who would bring him to the land where God dwells, he's buried in the land. But Moses, who was under the weight of all those law codes, even though he got to see God face to face in the end of the book, what happens at the end of the Torah? He's outside of the land because of a lack of faith, Numbers 20, verse 12. He does not have enough faith to lead us into the promised land. So we're going to have to wait for somebody, a prophet like Moses, who has even more faith than Moses. And that will be the one who can lead us to the promised land. Now, what's interesting is you begin the book of Joshua, you begin the rest of the Bible's commentary and interpretation on the Torah. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, the Old Testament and even all the New Testament are written at least in part to help you read Moses' book the way that Moses meant it. That's why what's interesting is, as I don't find a great tension between how the prophets read Moses and then how the apostles read it, I think they read it about the same. I do think there's a difference between how many scholars have taught us to read Moses and how the prophets and apostles read it. And indeed, what you find in the prophets, you find that that the hope that they offer is consistently the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this Messiah, who in the prophets in 2 Samuel chapter 7 is clarified as the son of David. Obviously there, that's Jesus. But when we start the book of Joshua, we're starting not merely a commentary, but it's a commentary that is designed to do a few things. Number one, it's going to give us the same problem of exile as the Torah. It's going to give us the same hope, this Messiah, 2 Samuel 7. And in the midst of doing that, it's going to amplify the problem. And it's going to show us in the books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. And notice I bypassed Ruth there. Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. You're going to see that that's one story. And it's a discussion of what happened when Joshua led Israel into the Promised Land. And the net result is, at the end of this book, that you find what? That Israel gets exiled, 2 Kings 25, that they are indeed out of the land. So we're examining this, and again, we're seeing a comparison between Adam's story and Israel's story being unleashed once again, to be able to enjoy the presence of God, and then because of sin, to be kicked away from the presence of God. This is humanity's dilemma, which is Israel's dilemma, which is Adam's dilemma. Now, as you think about the book of Joshua, you're going to be teaching through these first few chapters, you need to pay attention to a few things that will really help you understand, I think, not only Joshua, but how Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings fit together. I've already mentioned that it's one grand story of Israel going into the land and out of the land, and the explanation for why Israel will get kicked out of the land is embedded in Joshua 1, and it's taking the ideas of the Torah directly, taken directly from the Torah itself. And what are these ideas? That what we need to be in the presence of God is to meditate upon the Torah, the Scriptures, the Old Testament, but the Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy, day and night. So in Joshua 1, Joshua and Israel are commanded to meditate upon the Torah day and night. What Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings show is that not only Joshua wasn't perfect at it, but none of the Israelites were really that good at it. And so that's why they're exiled. But where Joshua 1 is going to give a command to meditate upon the Torah day and night and then present failure, Psalm 1 presents somebody like Joshua at the beginning of the third part of the Old Testament. We call it the writings. And this man in Psalm 1, he does meditate upon the Torah day and night. In other words, everywhere Joshua is going to fail, the man in Psalm 1, the blessed man, the Messiah, Jesus, he triumphs. So I want you to catch the symmetry there, that in Joshua 1, we're examining whether Moses was right when he said that Israel would go into the land and get kicked out of the land. When Moses said in the last eight chapters of the Torah that Israel was going to sin greatly and get kicked out of the land, and the story is going to tell us, yes, that's exactly what happened. But not to give up, to wait, because the end of the days and the Messiah, they're coming. The Messiah is coming, the end of the days are coming, and that's where the hope of God and man dwelling together is unleashed. So when you begin to teach through this, you're going to see Joshua, and you're going to see his interaction with God. Then you're going to see Joshua being this mediator, and he's going to begin to talk with the others. So I'm going to focus on Joshua chapter 1. This is what you'll be focused on in this first week of teaching it. So if you've got your Bible, let's open up at Joshua 1 real quickly and deal with this opening speech between God and Joshua, which is the opening commentary on how the rest of the Bible wants you to read the Torah. Now, what came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, or the servant of Moses, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the Torah, all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go, or wisdom wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, for then you will be wise. Then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, this is not only the opening of the book. This is the opening of this whole section of the Bible we call the prophets. Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then the 12 minor prophets. And so this speech says a lot of things, and I can't go into all of it on a short podcast. We could spend hours going over just this speech. But notice that it is the death of Moses that is the starting point and the starting problem. If Moses wasn't good enough to bring humanity into the promised land, into the land where God dwells, is there any hope for the rest of us? Well, obviously that hope is going to be there. And we're going to find out that Joshua is not going to be able to keep Israel in the promised land. But notice that despite that, he's still called and to go into this promised land. Now, in Christian circles, there's at least two different views in Protestants about how to handle this notion of the land and of the promise. Now, many folks from one tradition would argue that what has been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is this land, and this is actually the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. And it's only loosely connected to what will come in Jesus. Now, it's not my view, but there are many faithful Christians who would hold that view, and I would not be one. Indeed, what I would argue is that the author is trying to show us that even though God is being faithful and God is keeping his word, that this is not the fulfillment of the promise, but it is a picture of the fulfillment of the promise. It is not what Moses promised in the end of the days, but it does teach us about the end of the days. So let's go real carefully through here. The death of Moses prepares us for this speech, and he says something very carefully. He says, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you." And that's a reference back to the divine name, Yahweh Asher Eyeh, I am that I am, from Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush. And what did it mean that God was with Moses? Well, ultimately, in the end, it meant that he died. But that was not the end of Moses' story, and it will not be the end of Joshua or Israel's story. When God and man come together, somebody is going to die. The good news is that when God became man and dwelt among us, he himself died so that he could bring life to all who would trust him. Now, as he goes through this, you'll hear these phrases that you get earlier from Deuteronomy, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And then you get in verse 7 and verse 8 a discussion of the Torah and the Torah. Now, when we think of the Torah, we can think of the Torah as a book in verse 8, or the Torah as the laws within the book in verse 7. So in verse 7, perhaps, God is telling Joshua, obey the laws. And in verse 8, he is clarifying what he means by that. He's not just talking about the laws. He's talking about the book, the Torah. And the Torah as a book not only gives you the laws, but it tells you the larger message of the hope that you're going to have in the Messiah. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. This is God's reason why he provides his word to his people, so that we can actually live with him and enjoy him and enjoy his wisdom and his life and his light here in this world. And yet, on our own, every one of us fails. It is the miracle of God that we can have life with him, and indeed, through Jesus, we do have that. Now, from that discussion, we see that Joshua is being prompted then to go around, to go next, and to talk to the others about what will happen. And he becomes the mediator. Just as Moses spoke for God, the author shows us right away that Joshua is speaking for God. We see that he talks to all the people, and especially then in verse 12, he begins to talk to the tribes who have land on the outside of the promised land. They have it to the east, where they're already standing before they go over. And that is the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Now, this is very similar to when Lot went away to the east because of his cattle. These tribes, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, half of Manasseh, saw that there was good land for their tribes to the east, and they went there. And so they're being told, even though you don't have land in this land, you're going to go and help your brothers. And indeed, that's what they commit to do. At the ending of the chapter, it's very important. Despite all the failure you're going to see, it's very clear that Israel wants to obey God, wants to be close to him, but they're going to fail. Why? because the heart problem that we saw in the Torah is the heart problem that we're going to see in Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. Look at verse 16. All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Now, I want you to think about that. Just as we obeyed Moses. If you read the Torah carefully, they were not usually obeying Moses. So there's a little bit of tension there. But just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Their intention is to obey. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses, which is where we started. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you commanded shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So notice that it was Joshua speaking to the people. And then, of course, the people, or at least some of the people here, turning around and speaking to Joshua. And just as Joshua had become a messenger for God, they have become God's messenger back to Joshua, telling him the very thing that God had told him, be strong and courageous. It's in this way that we remember that when we as God's people are called to receive God's word, to maintain God's word, his doctrine, his teaching, his scriptures rightly, but also to pass it on, to communicate it, and to live it. And indeed, in Joshua 1, we see the foundation for this time in the land, being centered upon the good intentions of walking with God and God's perfect design in providing the scriptures. And in providing the scriptures, what do we see? The scriptures provide us the presence of God, and that allows us, no matter where we go, to bring God's wisdom, to share who he is, and to share his love with others. Now, next week, I'm going to try to get you focused on chapters 2 through 6. But I think in this opening here, we've set up some categories that hopefully will help you as you teach through Joshua. Don't forget, once a quarter, we'll do the Epic Bible Teacher Training. We'll give you a chance to look at the whole book. We have a lot more chance to go into more detail than we can here. And make sure that you join us in February for the next Epic Bible Teacher Training. In the meantime, thank you for all you do as a Bible teacher. And join us next week on the Thursday ChurchandGospel.com podcast. Thank you for joining us.